A new day is here. I said a new day is here. Praise God. I want to, you know, I've been trying to do this from the very beginning of the service. I want us to get from one place to another, where the place where God has called us today. We've got to, do that. You say, well, I'm in a pretty good place. Really? Yeah, you are, actually, because you're in America. Do you know something? We have a God-anointed president in the White House. We have, and that God-anointed president has selected a cabinet that are all equal to the task of righting the ship, the good ship USA, and on a steady and true course, back to where, back to better than it ever was. Better than it ever was. You know, people, Lord, I've counseled couples before, and they said, we just want to get back to where we were when we started. I said, well, no, you don't. You want to get better. Because if it's not better, then the same thing will happen again. You got to get it. You got to understand, you are in a new day. You say, yeah, it's a new day, I guess. We are in the midst of a reformation. It's going to take time. It's going to take some doing. It's going to take some participation on our part. We are in a reformation of America. You say, well, that's fine, but what about me? What about my life? I mean, I'm not everything I can be. I'm not, you know. Stop. What are you saying? You're not everything that you could be. Jesus died and went to hell, rose again, so that you could be forgiven, wiped clean, so that you could walk before the Father. You could walk in this earth every day knowing that your name is clear before God. And you're not everything you can be. What is your heart using your mouth to do? To express emotions that may have eternal consequences? Mm-mm. You're giving eternal status to something that is very temporary when you talk out of your emotions. It's a new day. How about the pressures I'm feeling and all the questions I have concerning my future? All of that stuff. What about that? Well, what about it? You know, I want to tell you something. Over 80 million people voted for Trump. 80 million people voted for Trump. They elected him. Did you notice how not just America is in a reformation, but did you know with his election, the whole world has started to get reformed and line up? Dictators are falling. I mean, the socialist guys all through Europe, the European economic market, which was that was bent from the very beginning. It was meant to fail. You can't unify something in human strength and expect leaders of country to come into agreement on anything. They all want their own. They want this. But look what's happening. When you conform to a standard that's higher than man, is it any wonder that what God can do through one man anointed of God, Donald Trump, a man who is anointed of God to do something? Well, I want to tell you something. Did you know that you have been elected? You have been elected by somebody who is greater than 80 million people, greater than, and look, that's a minority. The world is 8+ billion people. And the God of this universe elected you and anointed you. Have you ever wondered what you are capable of being an anointed God elected by him? With angels saying, what do you want us to do for you? With supernatural strength, messenger angels, warrior angels, what do you need us to do? We are at your disposal. Ho-hum. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. I'm going to say, you got to wake up and say, this definitely is a new day for me. It's definitely a new day. It has to conform to what I say. And I'm saying what God says, that I am a victor. I am more than a conqueror. I can go out and do things in him, in his name, because he's elected me to do it. He's called me to do it. Think of Peter. They just wanted his shadow to come over them, and they got healed. He was so dripping with the anointing. Do you know there's no difference between him and you? Did you ever deny the Lord three times in a row? Don't answer. You don't have to answer that. We've all done it in one way or another. But yet God has elected you. You know, in Jeremiah, when he talks about the potter and the clay, it says he found a little flaw in the finished product. And instead of throwing it out, he put water on it, the water of the word, right? The water on it and redid it until it was a beautiful piece of pottery. You may have cracks in you. You may have past that has cracks in it. You may have a past that has... We all have a past, don't we? But not where God is concerned. We went through that last week. I will remember their sins no more. I have forgiven their trespass for my own sake. Because I don't want... He says, you got to bring me into remembrance of this. Remind me. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Here. So you say, this is a new day, definitely. Now, I've got some scriptures for you here. Just write these down, okay? That tell you that you have been elected by God to be in his body, the body of his son, empowered to walk in this earth. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Romans 9, 11. Colossians 3, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 1, 4. Titus 1, 1. 1 Peter 1, 2. They all tell you that you have been elected. You know, Jesus said this at the Last Supper. You know, the last words of somebody pretty important. He says, you have not chosen me, I've chosen you. And I have anointed you, ordained you to go and bear fruit. And that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. You can't get too much. I mean, it takes outside help to misunderstand that. You know, if you read it in the paper, you'd say, you know exactly what that means. But if you read it in something called the Holy Bible, the devil gets all over that and starts to confuse you and introduce doctrines and all kinds of things just to get you confused. He said, ask anything in my name. That word ask, by the way, has four meanings. But generally what it means in a saying like this, it means to call forth. To call forth. What are you calling for when you speak? Are you calling for disasters? Are you calling for sickness? Well, you know me. I mean, fall's coming soon and I'll get the flu like every... Why are you prophesying your own doom? This sets on course the wheel of nature. You got to start using this for God's purposes. Prophesy about your future what he says about your future, that you'll live long in the earth, that you'll be fruitful, that everywhere you go, it's yours. Everything, everywhere your foot treads, it's yours. You own that thing. You co-own it. But you own it, and as that ownership determines the fact that God has to bless wherever you walk. You're carrying the blessing of God, and that you have the right to bless other people. Jesus said, you know, whoever sins you remit are remitted to them. You can hold people's sins against them, or you can set them free. And whoever sins you retain, they're retained unto you. You have power that you don't even know of, and yet you haven't even forgiven yourself of stuff. You talk about your own worst enemy. I mean, a lot of times we're our biggest enemy. And you know what? You're not hard to defeat. Yeah, you got to defeat that old sourpuss. Well, you know, what we have is a flesh, and that flesh is the residue of the lies and the deception and the narratives that the devil formed in your heart from the beginning you were born until you were born again. That dead man is gone, but that residue that he left is your flesh. And the Bible doesn't tell us to do anything with the flesh except crucify it. Nail that thing down! Sorry, did I wake you up? Nail that thing! Boom! Boom! Get out! Get up! Stay! I say it to Buddy. Stay! And he goes, what a good boy he is. So you say, definitely it's a new day. And then you got Brother Bucketmouth and Sister Sandpaper that come along and say, what do you mean it's a new day for you? Just look at you. Just look at you. I mean, you're in the same soup you've always been in. Nothing's changed with you. You say it's definitely a new day for you. And you know what you can say? It is a new day. Not because I say so. Not because of the carrot before the horse. I'm saying because this is what God has said about me. That this is a new day for me. That this is an open door for me. It may not seem that way on the outside, but you know what? Like Dwight was telling us earlier, that taproot is growing down into kingdom soil. What is kingdom soil? Kingdom soil is the word of God. It's the fields of God, the seeds and the crops and of the word of God that you can eat freely of. Look, they're growing all around you. The answers are all around you. The wisdom of God is right there. It screams at the gates, it says. You know what the gates are? This is a gate, and this is a gate. Eyes, ears, mouth, all gates. Wisdom screams at the gates. And it's trying to get through to you to start speaking God's word. Speak the His word is filled with blessing, power, strength, healing, deliverance, preservation, protection, safety, soundness, whatever. What do you need? What do you need? It's all in there. It's all in the word of God. You can't. I heard Jesse Duplantis say this recently. It was on whatever. But he said, you cannot separate healing from salvation. They're all on the cross. Don't you love the word of God, man? It brings everything back to true. Love the word of God. Where were we before I got all excited about that? Healing, prosperity, deliverance, power. Power, you shall receive power. Look at the back wall. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Well, I don't feel it. It doesn't matter what you feel. You have power. Why? Because God said so. But it won't happen until you start taking the step. When you take that step, guess what? Power starts to get activated. Power starts. You know, when Paul was preaching in Lystra in Acts 14. And he started preaching, and he saw this guy out in the crowd. And he perceived, he understood, this guy has faith to be healed. Which tells you what Paul was preaching. He was preaching healing through Jesus Christ. Because if you preach salvation, guess what happens? People get saved. If you preach prosperity, guess what happens? People get prosperous. If you preach healing, guess what happens? People get healed. And so he started preaching healing, healing, healing. And the anointed came out. And this guy was crippled from his mother's womb. And he perceived. Now, one thing he didn't say, oh, sir, get up, please. No, Paul was lit with the Holy Ghost. Lit with it. And he came up. He said, get up. Get up out of there. Get up. Get up. That's the way I see it happening. And the guy went, yeah. And he walked for the first time in his life. He walked. That's what the word will do. There's a first time in your life for something new. For something that is definitely new and definitely of God, that will break all the power of sin, Satan, demons, fear, sickness, and all of it. It'll just break it off, break it off, break it off. And you'll realize that your past is gone, that you are a new creation in Christ, and that you can do all things through him, through the anointing, which continues to strengthen and strengthen and strengthen and strengthen. Get up, get up! That's what you got to tell yourself. Did you get anything out of that? Yes. So did I. Thank you, Lord. Glad I came today. So they said, what do you mean? You're still in the same soup you've always been in. Nothing changing in your life. Da, 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 da. And then if you keep on listening to that, what will happen is you hear it and hear it and hear it. It's pretty soon you start to believe it, right? Brother Hagin was like, he read something in a magazine one time. Says when you're 35 years old, your brain starts hardening a little bit, and it's hard for you to remember and everything. And he says, I got to halfway where I believe that, and I started having memory lapses. He said, I couldn't remember anything. I said, that's the end of that. That's the end of that. I'm not doing it. He said, you know what? I take authority over this mind, and you know what, devil, here. He said, do you remember that the rich man in hell still had his mind intact and his memory? See, it's not the brain that hardens and brain that remembers the brain. The brain is simply a physical organ that the mind operates through. And so he realized, hey, and from that point on, his wife would give him a grocery list. He'd make a mental note of it. Boom, he's got it all. Didn't forget one thing. Your mind is your mind. The brain doesn't remember the brain. The brain is just a physical organ that the mind operates through. So if you're not working the word, nothing's going to change. But if you're working the word, guess what? The word changes and displaces everything that was in your life. You know, I was kind of hot off the wire. God gave you his very nature. He gave you his word. He gave you his spirit to guide and lead you and teach you, instruct you. He gave you access to his throne. He made you a new creation. If you're sitting there in a parking lot with an emergency brake on, he can't steer you. Can he? I mean, even God can't steer a parked car. And you're saying, God, lead me, guide me. Direct me, God, lead me, guide me, direct. Well, get out of, start the car and get it in gear and go somewhere and I'll steer you. Even my lightning fast mind can figure that out. I'm not the sharpest. If I can get this, you can get this. Let me back up. I am the sharpest knife in the drawer. I have the mind of Christ. I have the wisdom of God. I am a fountain of wisdom. It's not mine because he gave it to me. He put it there. I'm going to read something to you that I wrote back in 2016. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Is this the first time I've gone to Scripture today? Oh, okay, good. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. No, I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 4. Did I say 1 verse 1 before, Stephen? Yeah, please forgive me. I made a mistake. Okay, 1 John 4, 4 says, you are of God, little children, and what? Is this something that will happen in the future? No, it's already done. Have overcome them. Who are them? Them are the voices of the world, the voices of darkness, the voices of fear, the voices of torment, the voices of sickness, the voices of everything. The voices. You have overcome them. He's talking about Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, which is operating just about everybody in the world. It's against the anointing. And have overcome them. Because greater is he who is in you, that is in you, than he that is in the world. Say this, I am of God. I have overcome them. Because the greater one lives in me. Get that scripture out every morning. And just take a few moments and let that scripture start speaking to you. Let it grow louder and louder. Louder than your thoughts. Louder than your past. Louder than your infirmities and weaknesses. Louder than your finite mind can handle. Let these words become a tree of life within you, whose roots permeate and tap into kingdom ground, whose branches stretch out, springing forth with new life. Receive them as words that are spoken directly to you from the very heart of the Father, declaring before all heaven and earth that you are of God. These are the words of the Father. This is the voice of the Good Shepherd. All of the angels in heaven know these words. And they are in agreement with the God who spoke them. And you are of God. The angels of God, hearken to the voice of his word. Let these words manifest, be made flesh in your life to such an extent that your identity will agree with nothing less than what has already been declared by your Father and settled forever in heaven, that you are of God. When this truth begins to unlock the mind of Christ that's in you, and you begin to experience the freedom that this truth brings to your soul, you will realize that you are already an overcomer, because everything and anything that opposes you is no match for the greater one within you. From the very moment you read this scripture, it has begun to work on the inside of you, encouraging you, establishing you in his plan for your life, and liberating you from the mindset of defeat. The mindset of defeat. And creating in you the mindset of unlimited authority and power. You are of God. And if you're connected to God with your faith, with your words, with your prayers, you are connected to an unlimited God, which makes you pretty unlimited, doesn't it? You are of God, and you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Shove all that other garbage out of your mind. You are of God. Shove it all out. Don't give it access. Don't claim it as your thoughts. They're not your thoughts. Those are the devil's thoughts. He's trying to get you to agree with him. But we have something better to agree with. The word that is forever settled in heaven. When you speak it on this earth and believe it in your heart, it is established. And you are established in liberating truth that cannot lead to bondage. It only leads to more and more freedom. Daily, daily, daily. Praise God. I had a pretty good message today, but it changed. Well, Leah was praying, let it be you and not us, you know. See what you get for praying, Leah? So if Sister Sandpaper and Brother Bucket Mouth start talking, let them talk. Papa, Papa, and he'll come to your rescue. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return void, and it will accomplish in us everything that you sent it to do. For this word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. In Jesus' name, amen.